Good morning, everyone. Today we're actually wrapping up. We've been in this series for probably 2 months or so on following Jesus. And as far as the pastoral team, our hope and prayer was that we could grow more in love with Jesus, that we would follow him anywhere and everywhere that he would guide us. So it seems like this morning, I don't know, it feels like the Lord's just priming the pump or loading the bases, so to speak. Because the Lord's moving in this midst. Are you guys excited what God's doing? When the praise starts to elevate, you know Jesus is being glorified. And that's what we're all about. We're not about one person or a team or a music team, a person preaching. We want to make this all about Jesus. And personally for me, it's just really exciting to see us getting really, really excited for the Lord. Getting really excited for what he's doing. If you're in a context where you can share that you're struggling with sin, that's a really healthy context, by the way. We can confess our sins to one another. He's faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. And so I'm just really excited. As we're following Jesus, a quick little reminder before I get into the message. Let us stay locked and focused on Jesus. Who Jesus is according to who he says he is. It can be easy to get focused on other people or organizations that talk about Jesus or represent Jesus, but sometimes we can get shifted. Are you with me? We're focusing on Jesus. And if you look at the news at all in the last couple months, there's those who are following Jesus who will make statements of not following Jesus. You'll see Christians, because none of us are perfect, fall into sin. See organizations make mistakes that don't align with Jesus. And sometimes that can be incredibly, or most of the time, really discouraging. I know I find it really discouraging. There's someone you're looking up to, and they're going hard after Jesus, and then they'll make a statement, I'm not going after Jesus anymore, or they fall into such a sin that they're no longer in that platform. It can be really, really hard. And so I just felt the Lord encouraging me to encourage you. Let's just make sure we're falling in love with Jesus, and not just the thought of Jesus, or a person that represents Jesus, or a church, because the Bible makes it really clear that we have all fallen short, right, of the glory of God, all of us. So even sometimes we put people on pedestals where we shouldn't, because really we all need Jesus. But when we can focus on Jesus, when we get to heaven, we're not going to be worshiping our brother or sister. We're worshiping Christ. And let's stay focused on Jesus. This morning, the message title is Responding with Praise. And like I said, I'm like, wow, Lord, you are setting this whole service up to bring you more praise and honor, which is amazing. If you know me well, I really like food. I really do. I love food. I love eating food. Maybe a little too much. Got to slow down. Do more exercise. But this past Monday, once a month, I'm at a pastor's gathering at CFC Madrid. It's a local church in the area. CFC pastors and other pastors are there from the area. And there's a time of worship and praise, just like we had this morning, a time of teaching. But at 12 o'clock, once a month, there's like this amazing meal. Like, it's almost so good that you might skip everything else just to go for the meal. You know what I'm saying? If you had to be honest, like, why are you here? I'm here for the praise and worship. We're here for the praise and worship. But the meal is that good. There's a lady who some of you might know. Her name's Nancy Hall. She devotes just her time. I believe she's financing the whole thing, too, just to make this incredible meal, like, done up better than probably any restaurant I've been to in the North Country and present it in just a beautiful way. And she does it with joy. And she does it with no recognition. She doesn't want recognition. And it's interesting because this past Monday, which is like the normal, the meal is so good that the other pastors and myself will be talking about it like during like the beginning of worship before it starts in praise. We'll be talking about it as we have a break in between the teaching component. And then we'll be talking about the meal while we're waiting to actually get the meal. It's like that good of a meal. We talk so much about our thanks for Nancy, about how she devotes her time and just service and provides us with just like a spread that would be done for royalty. And then I got to start thinking, personally for me, it's like I talk so much about Nancy on this Monday, and we do as a group. Like, do I ever return that praise or thanks to Nancy? Right? Like, we're talking about her all the time. Like, we're so thankful. The meal's so good. We're so grateful that she would do this. But am I returning anything intentionally to her? I happened to see her. She was walking down a hallway in the church in CFC, Madrid. Got to do a little wave, like, thanks, Nancy. Everyone's like, thanks, Nancy. Everyone's so excited to say thank you. But for me personally, I felt like the Lord's like, So you need to take a step more than just like a wave. So you need to go actually send a message. It's like if you would spend this much time talking about what someone provided for you to other people, would you be willing to go and tell Nancy how much you are blessed by this meal? And so what I did is I went on Facebook. You can find anyone on Facebook, right? So I found her, sent her a message. Of all the specifics I was telling the other pastors, I felt like the Lord's like, you need to return that to her. We can do that so often with God, though, right? The Lord blesses us with something. We talk about it. We're excited about it. We want to share it with others, which should be what we're doing. But do we return to Jesus? Do we praise him? Do we just take a pause and stop? And Jesus, you are so worthy and awesome. Thank you, God. I've been praying for this breakthrough, and it came. But I'm going to tell everybody else. I just forgot to tell you. I know I've done that before, if you have to be honest. You're praying for something, something comes through, and you just kind of high-five Jesus and celebrate with everybody else. I believe what the Lord wants me to share with this word today is returning with praise to Jesus, that when the Lord does things in our lives, that we would be quick to return and glorify him, honor him, specifically right to Jesus. We can celebrate it with our brothers and sisters and those on the planet, but let us not miss the opportunity to praise Jesus. The passage we'll be looking at this morning, which hits right on this, is Luke 17. So if you like to open a Bible, or if you have a mobile device, you like to look along with an app, Luke 17, verse 11 to 19. And there should be Bibles in front of you if you'd like to grab one. Luke 17, 11 to 19. I'll start in verse 11. This is talking about Jesus on the go. So here we go. On the way to Jerusalem, he, referring to Jesus, was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 leopards, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet. Hopefully you can visualize this with me. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was not one found? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. God, thank you how it speaks life even today. Lord, before we were here, 100 years before, God, if you tarry 100 years later, your word will still be speaking life and truth. So God, help us to receive from you that our lives will look more and more like Jesus and how we respond. In your name, amen. So I want to talk about this passage for a little bit. So Jesus is on his way, he's passing between Samaria and Galilee, and he enters a village. It doesn't really give us the context of what village it is, but it does give us a context of who he interacts with. I love Jesus because he's just be on his way, and he's open for ministry anywhere, right? He's just open. He's on the go. He's open, ready to roll. And it says 10 leopards. Now, these leopards, they had leprosy. The word that's used for leprosy can refer to several different skin conditions and diseases. Leprosy was something that was seen as incurable. There were some cases of remission, of it could go away, but it was something that would build up, it would affect the skin, it would sometimes make it turn white, it would impact the nerve endings, and it was seen as highly contagious, and at that time it was unknown how it was contagious, so much so that even in the Old Testament they talked about leprosy. If you look in Leviticus 14, you don't have to turn there, there's a really long chapter that talks about how to deal with someone with leprosy. Leprosy wasn't just a physical condition. I know in the group this size, we all have probably different health things that we struggle with and maybe physical ailments. Leprosy wasn't just a physical, painful disease. It also impacted the individual socially. Because it was so contagious and it was unknown how things would spread, a person with leprosy could no longer, if they were in a family context, could not be with their family anymore. They no longer could be in a place if there were the religious gathering or with their friends. They couldn't be with anyone they used to be. So it wasn't just like, oh, this person was born blind, but they're able to be cared for by their family. No. They had a disease that they were then put away in a place outside of town and they would be with other lepers, and they have leper colonies. And so you would have a disease, and then you would have the loneliness and the aches. And I just couldn't imagine, you know, I don't know the demographic makeup here, if there was like dads in there or sons or daughters. I don't know how it all works out, but I just couldn't imagine that separation, right? You're struggling with an illness that you see that there's no cure. It's slowly just destroying your skin. The nerve endings would get worse and worse. Eventually, these people could not even feel the end of their nerve tips on like their fingers and foot. So what happened oftentimes is when they're making a fire or if they're working hard, they might, you know, get their hand maybe caught on something or bang it too hard or get caught and they could burn themselves. They could damage their hands and then things would start falling off. It was a very dangerous disease, but it was also one that socially would keep people away from those who love them and those that they love. So here's these 10 lepers all by themselves. They stood at a sacred dance. They stood at a distance because that's the protocol. You can't go near anybody. You're like the untouchables, the unwanted. You might be loved, but with that disease and where you're going, you just, even the Jewish law said you had to be at a distance. And so when they said they lifted up their voices, it's not like they're just me in the front row right here talking. There's a distance between Jesus and these 10 lepers. But it's great to see that they hear of Jesus, or they know Jesus, and they just cry out, "Master, have mercy on us." Or some translations will use the word, "Master, have pity on us." And I love how Jesus just interacts with those specifically who have different physical ailments and problems. He has a different method and process for like every way he would heal people. Have you noticed that before? Right? Sometimes he just heals them. Sometimes someone's blind. He puts like mud on their eyes and then they have to go wash it and do it again. They see it again. Sometimes they just got to be like an intercessor praying for someone else and they'll be like, "Hey, you go home," and that person's well already at the same time. Like Jesus, he's just amazing. He's the healer, but his method oftentimes is different. And in this case, it's very interested on the method of the healing. Because when he sees them, he doesn't have a discussion with them. All we see that from a distance, he says, "Go and show yourself to the priest." Now, this is important because in Leviticus 14, if you wanted to see possibly if a leprosy went into remission or it went back into a place where it's no longer active on the skin or in the nerves, they could go to the priest in the Old Testament, and the priest was there and would examine, did the leprosy actually go away? Because if the leprosy didn't go away, you can't go back home. You can't go back into your social place again. You have to stay in the leper colony. And so to be like, go to the priest is like what they would do in the Jewish custom. That actually is exactly what they're supposed to do according to Old Testament Jewish customs. And so I just love what happens next. So Jesus doesn't really have a conversation. He just tells them something to do. Go and show yourself to the priest. And it's noteworthy to notice that they all just go. They could have stayed, but we don't really know what they were thinking. They just end up going. And this is so important. Verse 14 towards the end, it says, "And as they went, they were," what does it say? Healed, or other translations will use cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. It was interesting because sometimes Jesus would heal people right in the moment, right at the location they were at. It's as they went that they believed in what Jesus had said, that we're going. Because I'm sure it's like, why would we go if nothing happened, right? Sometimes we can do that in our life, right? "I'm not seeing anything, Lord. God, you're calling me to do that. But until I see the breakthrough right now where I'm standing, I'm not taking any more steps." We can just stay. Stay right there. But Jesus is like, you need to go to the priest. You need to have faith that the reason why you would go to a priest is because you're healed. But they're not healed yet. But as they went, they were healed. All the translations will use the word cleanse. So all 10 are going. I don't know it doesn't say anything. This is just speculation. But I would assume people are getting really excited, right? When they start getting cleansed or start getting healed. I would assume, because they had some realization that healing was there. We're about to see with the one. And I'm sure they're probably talking about it. They're thinking about it. Like I said, it's not in scripture, but I'm assuming that they're excited for what's going on. If they've been away from family, social settings with a painful disease with no cure, man, the excitement that would come upon these individuals would be great. But it says that only one of them, when he saw he was healed, right? So I'm assuming that the others were getting these aha moments like, "Hey, your skin's looking a lot better. Hey, your skin's looking real good too." Not just that, man, we go see the priest, we can go home again. I can't imagine, well, what's the worst pain? The physical separation of like a family or the physical pain. But this means not only are you healed, but there's hope to return. But this one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. His His response wasn't just, I'm coming back and high five Jesus, like, thank you. Awesome, text you later, you know, that kind of thing. Man, he was full praise, worship, and thanksgiving to God. There's no way he was minimizing this moment. The other nine were moving along, but he chose to come back and give thanks. It says he fell on his face at Jesus' feet. Can you imagine this with me? Right? Having an incurable disease, separated from family, friends, social society. And now he's like, I am healed, and I'm able just to praise God. He could have just ran to the priest. I wonder if that's what the other nine were doing. And maybe I would have been in another nine. I don't know, honestly, if it's like I had that disease and separated. I'd be like, I got to get to the priest, and I got to go tell my family I'm healed, right? Motivation to go. Motivation to get restored. But he slowed down and went back to Jesus. He fell at his feet, giving him thanks. Now, it's interesting. It doesn't tell you from Scripture what the makeup was. It could have been Jews and Samaritans, but it says specifically, or it could have been all Samaritans, but it says, now he was a Samaritan. Not only were leopards seen as like the outcasts, the social outcasts, but if you were a Samaritan, I talked about this last week when Jesus was interacting with a lady from Samaria. You just don't do that, and Jesus did do that. This Samaritans were seen as like, as far as from the Jews and Samaritans, they did not like each other. There was a wall there, and there was a distance. And it was really interesting that the only one that came back, at least specifically in the text, is this Samaritan who comes back praising God, who's alienated from the people of God, but will come back to Jesus and start celebrating. I wonder if maybe his separation was so great that maybe his thanks was that great too, right? Because if you're a Samaritan, it's like you're not. If you're a non-Jew, and this specifically a non-Jew mixed Jew, it's like you're just over there. You're just not even. You're the worst of the worst, and you're also a leopard. But his gratitude was huge. He was a Samaritan. Jesus answered him, "Were not 10 cleansed?" So there's a healing for all of them. There was a cleansing. As they went, they did put their action into faith. They went to the priest. "Were not all 10 cleansed? Were not all 10 healed?" Other translations will say. And Jesus is saying, "Where are the 9?" You came back? Where's everybody else, right? Didn't I just perform a great miracle of healing and then also social reconnecting? 18 says, "Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner," referring to the Samaritan. And then it's interesting because the Samaritan did come back. He gets a little bit more insight into what happened. Verse 19 says, "Jesus said to him," the Samaritan, "Rise and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The others experienced the miracle, and they just went with it. And I'm sure they have lots of reason to celebrate. But this one Samaritan, this foreigner who came back to Jesus, he got to experience the miracle. He got to reconnect and praise with God, but he also got a deeper understanding of the process of that miracle. He got to know, God, this is who you are. I get to worship you, but this is also what just happened here. I know many of us, we cannot relate to this kind of maybe the skin disease, leprosy. It's really not common anymore. It is still in parts of in Africa and different places in the world. There are some cases. I was looking at WebMD. It's a great place if you want to freak yourself out. If you think you have a cold and you might end up with something worse, just go there late at night and read it. Not that I've done that, but I've heard of people doing such things. Just being real. But WebMD talks about, there are cases actually in the southern part of the country, about 100 reported cases of leprosy, according to this one definition, a year. But for the most part, in the last 2 decades, I believe it's like 16 million people because of antibiotics. Nowadays, they're cured from that. So thank you, God, for the medicine we have to be able not to have that. But at this day, they did not have that. But they did have Jesus. And Jesus made a powerful breakthrough. I want to look at a couple things about Jesus from this text. So Jesus had mercy, pity on social outcasts. If we're following Jesus, then we need to care for the things that Jesus cared for, right? We need to care for the people that Jesus cares for. Are you with me? He would care for the people that a lot of other people wouldn't care for, especially the religious people would not care for. They put up walls, they shun them, keep them at a distance, feel really good, self-righteous about it. Everyone else would say, hoorah, we're making the right decision. Jesus would go and hang out with social outcasts. Jesus came to love, not condemn. He did this so much that even the religious leaders started giving Jesus labels. Matthew 11, 19 says, religious leaders, this is what they said. They says, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton, a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. This is Matthew 11:19, talking about Jesus. A glutton and a drunk, because he's hanging out with people that other people wouldn't be hanging out with, specifically the religious folks. So they just assumed he's just given to all the sinful lifestyles that they're having. But Jesus didn't come to join in with sinners. He came in to give hope to those in darkness. Pat said it so well. Going to India, it's not there just to focus on the darkness. It's there to bring light to the darkness. And that's what Jesus would do. He'd bring light to the darkness. And it confused people. The really, really mature, smart, educated religious people just could not figure out God, the God-man, why he would spend time with those that they rejected and ignored. But I think they probably forgot the Old Testament commandments and Jesus' New Testament commandments of we're supposed to love God, right, with everything, and love people. And we're not supposed to put an asterisk by people and figure out which ones we don't include. Right? You ever see those commercials at night? There's a lot of medicine commercials with a lot of different names I can't pronounce. But at the end, they'll probably slam in, I don't know, pages of side effects, right? Or exceptions that go really, really, really fast. And they get me scared because there's usually something scary in there that ends with, like, might possibly kill you or something. I'm like, man, I don't know. Maybe sometimes you got to take it, but that just makes me nervous personally sometimes. We're not supposed to have exceptions when we say we love everyone as a Christ follower and then have a whole silent list kind of rubble map, but not this person, that person, that lifestyle, this choice, this sin issue, da, da, da. But everybody I do love. I really do. You should come know Jesus because he loves this way. It's like, no, you might love that way. I might love that way. But Jesus really actually loves everybody. And he would go after those that were uncomfortable to be around. He'd go after those that were difficult. He'd go after the sick, the broken, the outcast. As Christ followers, as we're following Jesus, will we follow Jesus to places that are outside our comfort zone? Will we talk to people that no one else is talking to? Will we love people that no one else is loving? Let's talk about a little bit of our response to Jesus. Our faith and our healing, whatever God does in our life, should be a catalyst to respond with praise, right? It should be. Sometimes, I know when I was younger and when Christmas would be coming up, I know Thanksgiving's coming up, I'll jump to Christmas. We did gift exchanges. I'll tell you, there were sometimes I got blessed by my parents. They loved the Lord, and they would give a bunch of fun gifts and stuff. I remember sometimes I would get, like, not, to be honest, not grateful for the gifts I was getting. I get one gift, I'm like, yeah, then maybe two or three, and then open them up, and then I'm just kind of like, I just want more gifts. I'm not really even thinking about each of the gifts. I don't know if you've ever done this before. But you're almost just kind of like, I want more, I want more. You get kind of like greedy, kind of like, oh, just me. And man, there's so many good gifts that God has poured out to us that sometimes we can start taking them for granted. And instead of pausing, like this Samaritan, who is amazing that he did do that, because to run to the priest and then go run home or go run to your family or friends would have been like, let's do this. I get the reasoning for why they would want to do that. But he decided to pause and return and respond with praise for Jesus. Opportunities that God does specifically in our life to bring healing or increase our faith should be a catalyst for praising God. In Luke 18:42-43, Jesus heals a blind man. Jesus said to him, recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. Verse 43 says, and immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And I love this. It says, all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Whole worship party started. Whole praise party started. God, you're so awesome. Just like we're doing this morning. We're just praising God for your goodness, for your love, for your faithfulness. We can keep going on and on. This is what Jesus was doing. But Jesus calls us to do this because of his Holy Spirit, that if you're a Christ follower, lives in you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, talk about power, says it's inside of you. That's Scripture. Even the early followers of Christ moved in supernatural power. In Acts 3:6-10, I'm just going to read it right here. One of the followers, Peter, heals a crippled beggar with God's power. This is how it goes down. It says, but Peter said, he's asked by this beggar, help me, money, something, please. Desperate place. Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, this is a crippled man, by the way, so now leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Man, if you're at all visual, I hope you can connect. Even if you're not, just get this moment in your mind. Wow. Crippled man is now leaping, walking, praising God. And all the people saw him walking. And what did they start doing? Praising God. What God does in our lives isn't just for us. For us to stop and pause and return with praise or respond with praise. It's for others to return and respond to God. Look at the goodness of God. Look what God has done in my life. Jesus has been so good and faithful. We've been talking about earlier in the service about having bumpy weeks or things going off, maybe even this morning. Know that a great reason to praise Jesus is that he is faithful at all times. We might and we will not always be faithful to him, but he will always remain faithful to us because he cannot deny himself. Isn't that a reason to praise? You can just take one of the characteristics of Jesus and you can just sit there for all eternity worshiping God. God, you're so good. You're so glorious. The grace of God, which Jesus has for each of us, I mentioned before, is not just for an insider group, but it's also for those on the outside. Another example, you can read this later if you want in the week, is Luke 10:25-37. That's when Jesus gives a parable, a story with a point about a man who was beaten up. He was broken. He's left on the side of the road by robbers. And he's just there dying or going to die. He's in a terrible place. A couple of religious people walked by, did nothing. But it was a Samaritan who stopped, who had compassion on this person, bound it and binded his wounds, brought him to a place where he could be cared for. And he said, not just, I'm going to get you there, but he's like, any expense this person has while I'm gone, you just charge my account. And this story just shows that God's love is extravagant, but also it's not like an exclusive huddle group where you only care for certain people. Jesus loves everyone, just like he mentioned the Samaritan coming back with praise. The Samaritan was also the hero in Luke 10, verses 25 to 37. There are so many different ways we can praise God for so many different reasons. So I was thinking about how to wrap up kind of as I ended this message. I felt like the Lord kept telling me to finish with Revelation 4. You can turn there if you like. I'd like you to get in a posture now of just receiving and hearing. So if you want to close your eyes, if you want to follow along in Scripture, I won't have you up here on the screen. I just want you to hear what's happening in heaven according to a vision that John had. So this is Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. I'm just going to read the chapter. So however you can just be in a place of receiving, this is God's word. This is the best thing you can take away is God's word. So this is John speaking. He says, after this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice, which I heard speaking to me like a trumpet, said, come up here, and I'll show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, and one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and a carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne was 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments, with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumbles and peals and thunder. And before the throne was burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne, there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature like the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night, they never cease to say. I'm going to pause here for a moment. Just so we're on the same page. So you get this incredible picture of a vision of heaven. You get Jesus on the throne, 24 thrones around them, 24 elders on those thrones. And you get these four creatures that look really, really interesting if you're reading the description. And they're doing something day and night unending. And that's what I want us to focus on. It says, and day and night they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And get this. So this is day and night. Just go with me. Day and night. This is what's happening. Now there's 24 elders. When this happens, day and night, so it's going on all the time, they respond with something. Let's see what the response is. And whenever the living creatures, which we just heard about, they do this day and night, give glory and honor and thanks to him who's seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy of you, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." That's the end of that chapter. This is what's going on in heaven. An unending response of praise to Jesus. All the time. Day and night, four creatures are worshiping God. Then there's a response every time they worship and praise Jesus that all the elders fall down. They lay down their crowns and they worship and praise God. It's a powerful scene. Every time I read this passage, my fear meter of the Lord goes way up. You are God and I am not. My realization, Lord, wow, you get praised all the time. Let's get real with right now as we're wrapping up. I'm going to invite the musicians. Does my life, you can think about this, does your life have in a response of what it looks like in heaven? Do we respond with praising Jesus all the time? If there's circumstances that we can respond with, praise the Lord for that. But sometimes we can just wait for circumstances to be the only catalyst for why we praise Jesus. Are you with me? The only catalyst is when Jesus comes through in the healing and the timetable when we want it and need it. But Lord, would I worship you even when the healing hasn't come yet? Jesus, would I worship you when that financial provision hasn't come yet? Jesus, would I still honor you when that relationship has not yet been restored? Is Jesus that good in your life, in my life, that we could just praise him unending? It's nice to look into Revelation, because when you get to see where you're headed, you can ask yourself, am I living that way now? If I'm going to be designed and created to praise and worship Jesus for all eternity, would I pause and respond often to praise him now on the earth? This is where we're headed. If you're a Christ follower, this is where you're headed. Unending praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Kings. It talks about Jesus being so bright, you don't even need the sun. There's no sorrow, no pain, no sin. Get new resurrected bodies. It's going to be absolutely amazing. Are we excited to be with Jesus for all eternity? Yeah. Are we, church? Yes. Or are we more excited for our kingdom here? And you can find out by what we talk about and praise about most, because that will tell us where our heart and our focus is on. And so my encouragement as I'm finishing up, let's lift our eyes together to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who was and is to come. And let's praise him until we go to him or he comes back, right? Let us be in a posture of, Lord, I'm going to praise you regardless of the circumstances I'm in. God, I'm going to praise you if things are going well or things are going bad. Lord, I'm going to praise you until the end of the days. I want to finish with a story, then I'll pray. Several years ago, I was getting ready for a church service. My wife, Crystal, came early, and she was teaching a class. And I was getting, at that time, it was my son Peter and Josh ready. Josh was a little baby. Peter's a little bit bigger. And we were in an apartment up past Lowe's, right past the train tracks. And I was trying to be a real well-prepped father, so I turned on the van just to warm it up. It was a super cold winter day. I'm sure we can relate to those from time to time, right? And I got out there, and I put Josh in there. And I don't know if it was me or one of my boys, but the car was running, and somehow the door got locked, but I didn't know that. So I had Peter right here on my arm. Josh was already in the car seat. The van was getting warm, and I shut the door. And then I realized I locked myself out of my car. And I didn't have any way to get into it. And in the apartment, I would always lock the bottom windows at night, which means I couldn't get back into the apartment. And it was really, really cold. And because of my dad, I didn't dress my son as well as I could have, right? Get all the hats and mittens on. Now, I'm sure some dads are better than me. But we were there, and I was thinking, oh, no. I'm locked out of my house. I'm locked out of my car. Josh is going to be really toasty. But Peter and I are going to get really cold fast. I tried calling Crystal. I couldn't get through. She was teaching a class. She had her phone on silent like a good teacher. So I'm calling. I don't know what to do. I'm like literally just in a parking lot, freezing, it felt like, with my son. And Peter was just looking at me. And his favorite worship song growing up was a song called Blessed Be Your Name. So he's like, he's just looking at me like, are we okay? Like, he's not saying it, but I could just tell looking in his eyes. I'm thinking, we're not okay. Dad made a really dumb move. And we're going to start freezing because I didn't give you, like, gloves or stuff. So I started trying to take off my hat, take my gloves. I put my gloves on his hands, my hat on his head. Because I'm like, if anyone's going to start getting cold, it'll be me before him. And then we just started singing. I started singing. I'm like, well, let's just start singing Blessed Be Your Name together. So we're in this parking lot. I get emotional just thinking about it. We're freezing. I locked myself out. I made a mistake. And we're just singing Blessed Be Your Name. We start dancing. It was really helpful because that actually increases the heat, right? That was good. But we're just dancing and praising Jesus together. Blessed be your name. In the land that's plentiful, where the streams that are abundant. Blessed be your name, right? In the places that are dark, the valleys are, blessed be your name. God, I want to bless you. Get blessing. And we just had a worship party for like 15 minutes. We were getting so cold. Thankfully, the Lord gave me an idea. Why don't you call Juby or text Juby? She's in the class. Thankfully, I did that. She was able to tell Crystal. Crystal came back. It all worked out. But I just remember having this moment of like, Lord, if I'm looking for a breakthrough to be the reason for the praise, I'd just be sitting out here in the cold. But instead, I felt like the Lord was like, let's praise even before the breakthrough. Let's praise before that rescue mission of my wife coming back to rescue her husband and kids. Let's praise now. And church, I just want to encourage you, brothers and sisters in Christ, let us praise regardless if our circumstances tell us to praise. Jesus is still worthy of it, amen? He's still worthy of all our praise and all our honor and glory to him alone. God, would I not settle for anything less than to praise the name of the one who gave his life for me? Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for the way that you love us. God, there's a lot of different things we could say thank you for. But God, we can spend all eternity just thanking you specifically for your unconditional love shown for us through your son Jesus on the cross. That infinite gift of sacrifice gives us all eternity to praise you. God, would we praise you now? Lord, forgive me, forgive us. If you can think of areas that you realize you're not praising God in because we're waiting for something else to be a reason to praise. God, would we praise you now? Would we glorify you? God, I pray that during this week we could just be worshipers on fire that praise you all day, whether it's in our car or truck going to work, Lord, whether it's in our living room or in our bedroom, just praising you, Lord, worshiping you. God, maybe we're at work on break or in a study hall or a classroom. God, would we give glory and honor and praise to the one that gave everything for us? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.